smiles I've ever had in my life. I knew the voice instantly when I got the phone call. It was a pastor of mine when I was early on in ministry. He had been the senior pastor of the church. I had been the 18 through 20-year-old assistant pastor of the church. His name's Kenneth Cromings. And he called me, and I recognized his voice. And when I began, here's how the conversation went. He went, "Hi, this is Kenneth Cromings. Is this Larry Griffith?" And I said, "Yes." And he said, quote, "You know me, but I don't know you." And I said, "What do you mean? You know me, but I don't know, but I know you, but you don't know me? What's, of course I know you, Kenneth." He says, "No, you don't understand. I had a heart attack and a stroke, and I suffered brain damage. And my brain is completely normal in every respect, except that I cannot remember anything from the years 1982 to 1988. I have 6 years where I have zero memory, and you were in my life during that period of time. And so you know all about me, and I have gotten a list of people from my wife that knew me well and that I knew, and so I'm calling everybody on that list and asking them, can you tell me something about my life from those years?" You know, how do you begin? What do you do with that? You know, I'm going back 20-something years, and I'm trying to remember everything, and helping the poor man fill in the blanks. Now, I can't imagine what that would be like. For you see, the ability to remember is a wonderful gift from God. If you look up Webster's Dictionary, you'll find that Mr. Webster defines remember as simply to bring to mind or to think of again. Imagine what it would be like to be that man that I told you about, Kenneth Cromings, where suddenly you had 6 years completely erased from your memory. Or to go even further, what would it be like if you couldn't remember anything at all? If you couldn't remember any previous thought, when you left here today, you would not know how to get home. You wouldn't know your name. You'd be a blank slate. Now, we all sometimes have some memories that are real painful. And I know there's the temptation to say, God, wouldn't it be nice if you could just take those painful memories away? But, folks, to do so would lose part of who you are. And you really wouldn't want those memories taken away. Today, I want to talk about the remember principle. This is a subject that's found throughout the scriptures where over and over God tells us to remember. In Luke chapter 17 and verse 32, Jesus teaching a lesson said, remember Lot's wife. And there was a warning. So memories serve as a warning to us. And then, if you recall, at the Lord's Supper, what did Jesus say? Right here on the front of this. Jesus said that we were to observe the Lord's Supper in remembrance of Him, to remember His sacrifice. In Luke chapter 24 and verse 6, when the apostles, when they show up to the tomb, and they began to ask, where's the Lord? There's an angel there that says, He is not here, but He is risen. Remember what He said to you in Galilee. The Apostle Paul oftentimes talked about putting people in remembrance of certain truths. As we come to Memorial Day weekend, I hope and pray that you've stopped and paused to give thanks for those who gave their lives and to remember their sacrifice. Because in remembering their sacrifice, it makes you appreciate what you have now. When a nation fails to remember the sacrifice of those in the past, then they will forget how precious liberty is. And liberty will die. Well, today I want to talk about the remember principle for the Christian life. And so we're going to look at two chapters, Deuteronomy chapters 7 and 8, and I'm going to hit some highlights out of those chapters, and I want us to see this principle in God's Word. Israel's about to enter into the land of Canaan, and God is issuing them some strong warnings and some admonitions, some encouragements, and as we look at these two chapters, we will see this remember principle that's referred to over and over again by God. Now, remember that remembering is an essential part of life. And so this morning in this text, we're going to see three vital remember principles. And so let's look at the first one. And the first one is, we must remember past victories. We must remember past victories. Look at Deuteronomy chapter 7, and we'll be looking at verses 17 through 19 in just a moment. God was about to send his people into a land filled with wicked and violent nations. And in verse 1 of chapter 7, God said, in fact, these seven nations, they are much, quote, greater and mightier than Israel. These nations that Israel was going to have to face down, these people were adept at warfare. And God knew what the reaction would be facing a more powerful military than what they possessed. God knew that their reaction would be fear. And so in verses 17 through 19, God gave them the antidote for fear. Look at the scripture. If you should say in your heart, these nations are greater than I, how can I dispossess them? You shall not be afraid of them. And here comes this principle. You shall well remember what the Lord your God did to Pharaoh and to all Egypt, the great trials which your eyes saw, and the signs and wonders, and the mighty hand and the outstretched arm by which the Lord your God brought you out. So shall the Lord your God do to all the peoples of whom you are afraid. God said, when you are tempted to fear, remember what I did to Pharaoh. Remember what I did to all of Egypt when I miraculously delivered you from your bondage. Ramona and I were at a conference, not a conference, but an associational meeting one time years ago, and there was a preacher up preaching, and he was sharing that when he was in seminary class, that he had a professor that was, well, let's say he didn't quite believe what the Bible said about the Red Sea crossing. And he was going on and on that really it wasn't the Red Sea where they crossed. It was this place called the Reed Sea. And the Reed Sea is only 6 inches deep. And so it really wasn't much of a miracle from God. And this guy was saying, this guy in the back of the class just started going, praise the Lord! And getting all excited about everything. And the president said, what do you mean? Did you not hear me say that they only crossed in 6 inches of water and not through the great mountain water? And the guy's going, yeah, I heard you. Because either way, praise the Lord. Because if what most people believe true, God did it the way it said. But even if it was the reason, God drowned the entire army of Egypt in 6 inches of water. You know. All right? This is what God's saying. Remember what I did. The miraculous deliverance. The victory that I have won for you in the past. And folks, here's where it applies to us. Remember the greatest victory that has ever been won was won at Calvary's cross, and it was applied to your life in Jesus Christ. The greatest victory is salvation from sin and death. And if you have come to be born again in Jesus Christ, you know what I'm talking about. You have experienced the greatest victory in the history of the universe. And since God has accomplished that for you, I'm sure there are some other victories in your past that God has accomplished since then. You've experienced circumstances that were tough and hard, but you found out that God was true to His Word. So we need to desperately remember the victories that God has won in our past. And when we do that, fear loses its grip in the present. But if we fail to remember those past victories, when we fail to do that, fear paralyzes us and stops us in our tracks. Remember what Paul said in 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 7. For God has not given us a spirit of timidity or a spirit of fear, but of power and love and discipline. So let's look at the second lesson that we find here in these two chapters. Not only must we remember past victories, but we must also remember past lessons. Now let's move over to chapter 8. Here's Israel on the threshold of entering into the Canaan land. It's an unprecedented time of blessing that lays right before them. But as they look back, their past was not always one big party, was it? These folks had not come down easy street to get where they were. They had been through great trials. Look at the first three verses of chapter 8. All the commandments that I am commanding you today, you shall be careful to do, that you may live and multiply and go in and possess the land which the Lord swore to give to your forefathers. Good so far? Yeah. But look at verse 2. You shall, here it is, remember all the way which the Lord your God has led you in the wilderness these 40 years, that he might humble you, testing you, to know what was in your heart, whether you would keep his commandments or not. He humbled you and let you be hungry and fed you with manna, which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that he might make you understand that man does not live by bread alone, but man lives by everything that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Now look down at verse 15. He led you through the great and terrible wilderness with its fiery serpents and scorpions and thirsty ground where there was no water. He brought water for you out of the rock of flint. Look at verse 16. In the wilderness, he fed you manna which your fathers did not know, that he might humble you and that he might test you to do good for you in the end. Here's a thought. It's interesting that it was God that led them into the wilderness in the first place. Verse 3 tells us it was God that allowed them to get hungry. Why would God do this to his children? Why would God lead them into the wilderness? Why would God let them get hungry, let them get thirsty? Now go back and look at verses 2 and verse 3 and verse 16. And there's a commonality in those three verses, a common phrase. In all three of those verses, God says he did it to, quote, humble you. To humble you. Israel had a stubborn self-will. And God allowed trials into their lives, in fact, led them directly into those, to teach them, as it said in verse 3, to rely on his word alone, the word from his mouth. When we fail to remember the lessons that God has taught us in the past, God will put us in the wilderness. God will put hunger in our bellies and dryness in our mouths till we learn to turn and depend on Him. Wouldn't you much rather learn the lesson, remember the lesson, grow from the lesson, so that God doesn't have to keep reteaching you the lesson? I know I would. But how often do we mess up with this remember principle and not remember the past lesson and find ourselves in the wilderness over and over again? Look at verses 5 and 6 here in chapter 8. Thus you are to know in your heart that the Lord your God was disciplining you just as a man disciplines his son. Therefore you shall keep the commandments of the Lord your God to walk in his ways and to fear him. So we first must remember the past victories. And secondly, we must remember the past lessons. Let's look at the third remember principle. This one's real simple. We must remember who is the source of all blessings. Here's Israel about to enter this new land. God's giving it to them, and God knew and was telling them that it was a good land. Continue in verse 7 in chapter 8. For the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land. A land of brooks of water, of fountains and springs flowing forth in valleys and hills. A land of wheat and barley, of vines and fig trees and pomegranates. A land of olive oil and honey. A land where you shall eat food without scarcity, in which you shall not lack anything. A land whose stones are iron and out of whose hills you can dig copper. So what was Israel to do when they were so blessed by God? Well, look at verse 10. When you have eaten and are satisfied, you shall bless the Lord your God for the good land which he has given you. You're to bless the Lord. Give thanks. Remember who it is who has given you those blessings. Now, Christians, we live thousands of years later in a totally different time period. But nothing has changed when it comes to this matter of thanksgiving. We are to remember where our blessings come from. This is repeated over and over again in the New Testament. 1 Timothy 6:17. We're told to give thanks to God for everything. This is repeated in 1 Thessalonians 5:18 and Ephesians 5:20. Over and over, give thanks. But God knew Israel had a tendency, just like we do. God knew that with his blessings comes the temptation, the tendency to become prideful, to forget where the blessings have come from. Look at verses 11 through 14. Beware that you do not forget the Lord your God by not keeping his commandments and his ordinances and his statutes, which I am commanding you today. Otherwise, notice this, otherwise when you have eaten and are satisfied and have built good houses and lived in them, and when your herds and your flocks multiply and your silver and gold multiply and all that you have multiplies, then your heart will become proud and you will forget the Lord your God who brought you out from the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. So what was the answer to this fleshly tendency to become prideful and to forget that it was God who has given it to you? We see the answer in verses 18 through 20. But you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who is giving you power to make wealth, that he may confirm his covenant which he swore to your fathers as it is this day. It shall come about if you ever forget the Lord your God and go after other gods and serve them and worship them, I testify against you today that you shall surely perish. And then God says, if you don't believe me, remember this in verse 20. Like the nations that the Lord makes to perish before you, so you shall perish because you would not listen to the voice of the Lord your God. Do you know what Satan has used to destroy many godly Christians? Success and prosperity. If we don't remember where our blessings have come from, we will be caught up in a web of idolatry. We'll start worshiping the works of the hands of men. We'll start worshiping our houses, our lands, our boats, our cars, our vacations, all that stuff. And you say, how do we worship them, Pastor? We don't bow down and say prayers to them. No. No. But we sure begin to live for them. We sure make them the focus of our lives. We begin to plan our activities around them. We begin to put those things ahead of God in our lives. And then we begin to wonder, what can I do without belief? Could I do without the least in my life the things of God or my house? Those things come ahead of God. We're worshiping Him. We have fallen into idolatry. What did God say in verse 20? Just as that has been the undoing of the nations that fell before you, it'll be your undoing as well. Remember that God is the source of our blessings. And those blessings are intended to draw us to God, to remind us of His love for us. But when we focus on the blessing more than the blesser, we have fallen into idolatry. I want to end today's message with a reminder from the Apostle Paul in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 8 through 9. For Paul writing to young Timothy, and he says these words, remember Jesus Christ, risen from the dead, descendant of David, according to my gospel, for which I suffer hardship, even to imprisonment as a criminal, but the word of God is not imprisoned. Remember Jesus Christ, risen from the dead. How quickly we put that. Tomorrow we'll pause and thank God for those that went before us, that gave their lives. Sometime tomorrow, even today, if I'm speaking now, it crosses my mind, I will remember being around 6 years old and being at the funeral of my cousin who was killed in battle in Vietnam. And I'll remember the taps playing, and I'll remember all that, and the sorrow and the pain, even though I was a youngster and I didn't quite understand everything. It leaves an impression on me. And I'll think back through my family tree, and I'll think of others that gave their lives and died. And I'll say, thank you, God, for them. And even though they didn't know me, it's because of them that I'm free and I can worship you. Don't forget the greatest soldier of all, Jesus Christ, who died in the greatest battle of all, the battle of eternity, so that we might have freedom in Christ. Father, thank you for the blessings of Christ. And Lord, today we stop and remember Him and what He did on the cross for us, and we remember that He rose again from the grave so that we might have victory, and eternal life. Father, for the one here today, as we move to this moment of decision that has not been born again, I pray, Lord, that you would bring them, that they would come. Father, for those of us who have been comfortable, and we put the blessings ahead of you, and have fallen into this materialistic idolatry, Father, let us repent before our idols destroy us. Father, for those of us who are fearful as we face the future, because we've forgotten the past victories, let us remember what you have done in our lives. And Father, for those of us whose hearts have become proud, let us humble ourselves before you as we remember lessons from the past. Father, we ask that you take this time of invitation, that you convict our hearts with your Spirit, that you bless any decisions that need to be made, to heal broken hearts. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I invite you to stand here.